This is the Laughlin Town Advisory Board, Laughlin Regional Government Center, 101 Civic Way, Laughlin, Nevada, 89029, June 10th, 2025. It is 1:30. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners, Zoning Commission, BCC, or the Clark County Planning Commission, PC, for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room. With a 48-hour advance request, a sign language interpreter, or other reasonable efforts to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530, TDD at 702-385-7486, or Relay Nevada toll-free 800-326-6868. Supporting material provided to the board members for this meeting may be requested from Tammy Harris at 702-298-0828. Supporting material is or will be available at the Clark County Department of Administrative Services, 500 South Grand Central Parkway, 6th floor, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89155. Supporting material is or will be available at the county's website at clarkcountynevada.gov/LaughlinTAB. At this time, I will call roll. Pamela Walker, I'm here. Kathy Oakes.
Here.
Bradley Beck.
Here.
Fred Doak. Here. Kathleen Haas.
Here.
Our secretary, Tammy Harris, can be reached at 702-298-0828 or tammy.harris@clarkcountynevada.gov. Mark Moskowitz can be reached at 702-298-0828 or at 702-455-6173 or mark.moskowitz, M-O-S-K-O-W-I-T-Z, at clarkcountynevada.gov. This time I'll call the meeting to order. We would do the Pledge of Allegiance followed by the invocation by Mike Willis. Fred, do you
want to lead us? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Should it be on? No, it's on. Well, good afternoon, everyone that's here today. It's been about 5 years since I've been in this room, but I'm glad to be back, and I thank you for inviting me to say a nice prayer for you. Hopefully, it'll bless you. Today, I believe, is the 250th anniversary of the Army. They claim to be the oldest institute in the United States of America. I want you to know that there are people that are older than the Army receiving Social Security. Those that are here today, I'm asking you now to bow your heads and let us seek the Lord for guidance. Heavenly Father, you're our fortress and our great shield. Shield us today in your fortress where we find safety and strength. Your laws guide us. Your teaching protects us. Your way is perfect. Your word is truth. And bless all who follow your guidance, giving them the power to save others. For the people in this room, Lord, give them wisdom and patience and guidance as they seek to do their duties today. And as our leaders, we ask them to give them, Lord, the power to serve and empower them to minister your name to the suffering, the friendless, and the needy. Lord God, give our leaders today wisdom and strength for today and every day, that they may perform their duties in ways that honor you. Help them in their responsibilities to honor you. And I ask a special blessing today. I think it's Robert Bilbray's birthday, but I'm not sure. But have a special day today, Robert. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. This is a time of public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction, but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Seeing as we have no one coming up, I will combine item 3 and 4, approval of the minutes for May 13th, 2025, and approval of the minutes for May 27th, 2025.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the two May meetings.
I second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Receive a report and updates from South County Liaison Mark Moskowitz on the, what I miss? Oh, approval. Sorry about that. Item 5, approval of the agenda for June 10th, 2025. Hold, combine, or delete any items.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve today's agenda as listed.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you for catching that.
Sorry.
Receive a report and updates from the South County Liaison Mark Moskowitz on the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority 2024 Laughlin Visitors Profile Study and any other updates from Clark County. Mark?
Thank you, Chair. If we'll bring up that presentation. Every 2 years, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority does a Laughlin Visitor Profile Study, and they just released the facts and everything. It's a large 45-page report. If anyone would like one, I'll show you the website at the end, or you can always reach out to our office. But I just want to highlight a few things. It's really great that they are continuing to do these surveys to find out what tourists are feeling, what locals are feeling, what how we're doing overall. So I know there's a lot on the screen right there. The main takeaway from that executive summary is that compared to before COVID-19 pandemic, in 2024, Laughlin visitors were younger and higher educated, achievement and income levels. So we're seeing younger visitors, higher income coming, larger parties coming, strong satisfaction. That was big throughout the whole report, is about 98% of the visitors truly love Laughlin and want to come back. We're seeing people that are wanting to come back after their visits, so that's a big thing. Majority of the visits are for vacation and pleasure. We're seeing larger travel parties. Visitors are spending a little less, but it's minimal. I mean, it's like $5, $10. So it's not something that's huge. That is a little bit less. Gaming remains strong. 92% of visitors wanted to gamble. And one in five said gambling is the main reason for their visit. And visitors are actually coming from Las Vegas. So that's showing that people want that. Sometimes on the Strip, it's very congested. There's charging for parking. It's hard to get in and out, and they want that ease to come down here and have that same experience. So, I mean, like I said, more educated and higher incomes as well. And this, so this study was done between January and December of 2024, and they did about 1,200 people. They interviewed through that 12 months, about 100 every month. So a good amount of people, and these were, they would send emails or catch people or ask them how their visit were. And I want to go through some of the slides. So the big take homes, I mean, people are, what's really interesting to see is people aren't just like popping into Laughlin. They're actually planning to come here. So they're making their reservations well in advance. Not while they're on the route or while they get here, they're like, oh, let's stay the night. So that's a big thing. What's another one, the one below in the orange, is that Laughlin is actually not part of a bigger trip. A lot of people are coming just to come to Laughlin. So, and that's about 90% for the 2024. So that's really good that people aren't like, well, let's go here and then maybe pop into Laughlin. So that's helping. A lot of visitors are just wanting to come back. They've gotten a really good experience. They've really enjoyed it. So they're repeat visitors. As you can see, we've got 90% that are repeat visitors compared to 10%. So we're doing a really good job of promoting Laughlin and that. This is another interesting fact on the top left. A lot of it is weekday travelers, which I think is good. That shows that we're really, I know in Las Vegas, they sometimes have a trouble filling the weekdays and not the weekends. So we're almost maybe helping to fix that issue or problem. A lot of people are staying in hotels. There's not a lot of people that are staying with friends and family. So I think our casinos are really enjoying that. That's 97% for the 2024 at hotels. Friends and relatives, 3%, and actually 2% to zero is RV park. So they're really utilizing our hotels. And then, as I said, people are gambling for about almost 3 hours. So, and 92% of people are gambling. This one is great to see is that we got 86% that people want to return to Laughlin. So it shows that we're welcoming the community, we're welcoming our tourists, we're showing them what we have to offer, and they're wanting to come back. So it's not like a one-time visit. And I think, as everyone in the room knows, we have so much to offer, not just the hotels and casinos. We've got the river. We've got anything you think of. We've got states that are, 5 minutes away and 2 hours away if you want to go see other things. So there's a lot going on. And you can see the expectations and satisfaction is 98%, which is huge. And people said that their trip always met their expectations. So we're really happy to see all these statistics come out. I really appreciate the LVCVA and Commissioner Naft and his team getting all this information. If anyone's looking to get this report, like I said, contact our office. We can print you one. You can also go to lvcva.com and then just search 2024 Laughlin Visitor Profile Study, and you'll get to a site here, and you'll be able to download the whole document. But like I said, let us know if you'd like one. It's a really good, thorough document. It shows how much the Convention Visitors Authority focuses on Laughlin and how much they care and what they're doing to let everyone know what we can improve on too. So, but overall, reading through it, I mean, it's a really good report and showing that we're continuing to recover from the COVID-19 and we're meeting our pre-pandemic numbers, which I think is great. So with that, that'll end that report. And then one last thing I want to mention, I know we're getting into summer season. I know it's starting to get very hot. Yesterday and today, our cooling stations are open. Here in Laughlin, we've got the American Legion, the Colorado River Food Bank. You can always go to the library and the community center during business hours. Please keep an eye on your neighbors, your friends, bring your pets inside. There is flyers on the back that have all the cooling stations' locations, so if you're not in Laughlin somewhere else, please use those because we don't want people to suffer. We're hitting the stride of it. I know I was talking to a few people. We're going to be in the 110s plus probably till October. So please take it seriously. Please hydrate and let us know if you have any questions or any concerns. So, and with that, that ends my report.
Thank you. Receive an awards presentation from the Laughlin Rotary to honor a first responder for their dedication and contributions to the Laughlin community.
Hello, board. Good afternoon. My name is Jackie Wallen. Today, right this moment, I'm representing the Laughlin Rotary Club. You'd be happy to know that we're up to 15 members now. We're getting kind of excited. That just means we can do more. You have three representing today, Fred. Anybody else here?
Renee.
Is there anybody else here? I didn't see Evan or anything, did you?
Yeah, Evan's right there.
Oh, Evan. Evan's in our Laughlin Rotary Club. So he's here to represent. You need to come up here, Evan, because we're giving an award. He's new. Today we're giving our quarterly first responder award, and I'd like to invite up Bowen Durant. Come on over here. Thank you. Are you taking pictures for Jill?
Yes.
Thank you. Jill had a flat tire on her way over. She's kind of disappointed she couldn't be here. It is with great pride that the Laughlin Rotary Club presents our First Responder of the Quarter Award for the first quarter of 2025 to a team whose service on the Colorado River is nothing short of life-saving, water rescue and safety, proudly known as WRS. WRS began as a specialized team of swift water rescue lifeguards, professionals uniquely trained to operate in the powerful, unprecedented, and fast-moving conditions of our river environments. Their early efforts supporting the Bullhead City River Regatta demonstrated the critical value of highly skilled aquatic responders who do not only understand the dynamics of water, but who also know how to act swiftly and decisively under the pressures. Recognizing the growing need for year-round river safety, WRS formalized its operations in 2019 by partnering with the City of Bullhead City and the Laughlin Township, securing a contract to patrol a vital 7-mile stretch of the Colorado River Davis Dam to Rotary Park. Their role quickly expanded beyond seasonal support to comprehensive presence that now includes lifeguard, EMTs, on-rescue watercraft, patrol boat deckhands, and beach safety ambassadors. These are not your average lifeguards. These are trained swift water professionals who specialize in high-risk aquatic environments capable of both proactive prevention and rapid rescue. Their work has dramatically improved safety outcomes, minimalized emergency responses, and saved countless lives. In recognition of their critical service and to support their continued presence in our region, the Laughlin Tourism Commission partnered with the City of Bullhead City to provide complimentary lodging for WRS personnel while they are stationed here. This cooperative effort underscores how deeply our community values not only tourism and recreation, but also the safety of every individual who steps in our waters. WRS represents the best of what can happen when professional training meets genuine passion for service. Their model blends the accountability and coordination of public service with the innovation, flexibility, and rapid deployment of capabilities of private rescue organizations. Each time they launch into the water, they do so not for recognition, but because they are committed to preserving life. They embody Rotary's guiding principle, service before self. As so today, with heartfelt appreciation and admiration, we are honored to present the First Responder of the Quarter Award for Q1 2025 to the brave, skilled, and deeply valued team of the Water Rescue Safety. Please join me in a round of applause and warm thank you to these remarkable swift water rescue lifeguards. Fred, would you like to come up as a Rotarian? You're okay?
Take some.
Walking backwards.
Yeah, it's no one's thing ever. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Duran. I wanted to share just one thing. The 2024 statistics will blow your mind. Vessel rescues just in the 2024 season was 3,242. Swim rescues were 77. Vessel assists are 513. Accident response is 43. Medical aids is 112. And public contacts, just one-on-one contact, making sure everybody's okay, is 16,500 people. Those are people being reminded to wear their life vests, to stay in the swimming waters, to make sure they know how to operate their personal watercraft or whatever. These guys are skilled swift water rescue, and I watch them all the time when I'm on the river. And they're not the only ones. There are regular people that are just out there, and they know the swift water rescue risk. And they all work together. Duran, would you like to tell them who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm one of the owners of Water Rescue and Safety. My name's Duran. Most of our lifeguards that come out here, we come from an ocean lifeguarding background. And we've also been training some local lifeguards here to work on the patrol boats as deckhands. As ocean lifeguards, we come with a higher skill set than your average pool lifeguard. come with EMS experience, rough water experience, as well as some diving as well. This is one of the most rewarding experiences that I've had. The community here, both on the Bullhead City side and the Laughlin side, we can tell that they really need the help and the education, but they're also very appreciative, which is something we're not seeing so much in California. The community here, they respect authority, and if we give some advisals, they take it on board, and we really see the change that's affecting, you know, every day. So I appreciate all the support we've had from, you know, Laughlin as well as Bullhead, and our goal is to, you know, have a consistent presence over the coming years, and, you know, continue keeping this riverway safe. So I appreciate all your support.
Thank you.
And if you don't recognize Bo, he is the CEO for the Laughlin area, the Bullhead Area Chamber of Commerce, but he serves as a swift water rescue individual with WRS. So he's a local guy doing good with the people that Bullhead City has hired and that we house. So thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Thank you. Receive a report from Lieutenant Rogers with Metro Police regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns.
All right, board. Good afternoon. Lieutenant Rogers here at Metro. Happy to be here. Just to add on to a couple of things with Mark's report, I do hear the same things from some of the stuff that I'm required to go to in Vegas. People have come to Laughlin, as I deem it, small town America or old school Vegas where you don't have to pay for parking. People actually really do appreciate that. And then also, too, I do want to give a shout out to Bob Bilbray. We already heard it was his birthday. 78th is what I'm understanding. He's a big fan and to law enforcement, so we always appreciate his support. All right, getting down to statistics here. For May 2025, last month, we handled 346 calls for service, up about 7% from last year, from 323, so nothing super drastic. It is up a lot from April, and that's just kind of what I say is normal Laughlin. Like, May is one of our busier months. People love coming here. The weather is nice. It's starting to warm up. It feels good to get in the end of the river, you know, and it's not 125 degrees outside. So people love the month of May is what we see here in law enforcement, but doesn't mean that we're too overly busy on our side of it. You know, we like to see the casino super busy. We wrote 97 traffic tickets. We had 2 DUI arrests, 5 total arrests for domestic violence. And then our Tucker holding facility brought in 22 adult bookings through all law enforcement agencies that take advantage of our remote jail here. And then the school year came to an end, but we did have a couple calls for service there at the end of the year that we just like to keep tabs on that to work with Officer Dew at the Laughlin campus. As far as community events, tomorrow is our monthly Coffee with a Cop. The Desert Bay Apartments have graciously offered to host for us and provide snacks. It will be inside their little main office community room, if you call it, 11 a.m. All are welcome. You don't have to live at Desert Bay to go there. So if you kind of feel that, I don't live there, it doesn't pertain to me, that's not necessarily true. Feel free to stop, and there's usually ample parking. Just to put it on the calendar for next month, on July 9th will be one of our afternoon events that will kind of cater towards a lot of the children. That will be at 4:30 at the Laughlin Community Church. That will be our Cops and Cones or Cops and Snow Cones. We still have our snow cone machine that was donated to us, and either through the church or, as I mentioned earlier, Mr. Bilbray donates ice to us for that too. Then we can make snow cones for the kids, and there's plenty. And you don't have to be a kid to come, so I expect everybody in the room to come enjoy a snow cone in the afternoon. And if you haven't been inside the church, they have that large community room that's very, very nice and to host everybody. A few weeks ago, we did our blood drive, which is, as the American Heart Association and Red Cross says, it's one of their events that actually sells out in advance. So they just want to put it on everyone's calendar. July 23rd is the next day to donate blood here in this room, and you can get on their app or their website or call them to make an appointment. I recommend doing that because it does sell out, as I say. I mean, it doesn't obviously cost any money, but all the reservations get booked out, and then they don't have the ability to take people on a walk-in basis. So if you're able to and willing, then we'll love to see you on July 23rd here in this room to donate blood. And that's all I got. Any questions from the board or anything?
Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Everyone have a good day.
Receive a report for Sergeant Tim Waller with Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activity and statistics during the last month and other public safety concerns.
Good afternoon. My name is Tim Waller, Sergeant Nevada Highway Patrol, Laughlin Search Lake. For the month of May, we had 503 traffic stops, resulting in 473 citations. Our commercial guy conducted 54 commercial vehicle inspections. We had four crashes and one DUI arrest. In total, we had 653 total contacts in our district. Super easy. Any questions?
Any questions?
Madam Chair, I was just going to ask how the construction was going from...
I kind of got an update on that today. I know it looks like they are getting near the end, all the way up to marker 17, just south of Searchlight.
Right.
When they're done with that, they're essentially going to sand that, and then they're going to cap it. So they're going to be a couple more months.
Okay.
And obviously, since from marker 37 all the way up to 17, it's quite a long distance where you're down to one lane with reduced speeds.
Right.
So they do have us contracted. They generally have two of our guys on
right
scene with them. And so we're going to continue doing that for the next.
So pretty much through September, you think?
They originally said November. But I talked to them today. They're hoping they're going to be probably done in October. But that can change. That's going to depend on how much monsoon rain we get this year and so on. So,
okay.
But that's the latest update.
Thank you.
Yep.
Receive a report from Clark County Fire Department regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues.
Good afternoon. Ken O'Shaughnessy, one of the captains at Station 76 just across the parking lot. So statistics for the month of May, between the two stations, we got 85 and 76. We had a total of 200 responses, 207 last year, pretty much on par with that. Year to date, we're at 956, last year 899, so a slight increase there. That's divided between Station 76 with 686 and Station 85 with 270. So they're down 28%, we're up 30%. That reflects a change in our response to Cougar, properties on Cougar right there. So Station 76 is going there now instead of 85. They ran some numbers and response times and just figured that was the best service we could give was putting our station on that. So that's the change there. Our boat is currently out of service. It's in the shop. We're hoping to get it back within the next month or so. We do still have the two personal watercrafts up at Station 85. So we've still got the ability to respond on the river. We did, well, not me, but one of the other crews did a drill at the Colorado Bell with fire prevention, testing their standpipe system, because that's one of our target hazards, just a big vacant building like that for us. That's something that scares us. So we wanted to go over there and make sure everything was operable, and it was. It was a good drill. Everything went smooth. So that's all I got. See any questions?
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Receive a report from Jason Bailey with Big Bend Water District regarding the status of the water system.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. Jason Bailey with the Big Bend Water District. With the report for the month of May, there were total diversions were 260 acre feet. Year to date, that's 1,262 acre feet, almost about 100 acre feet more than this time last year. As far as a water system update, our staff has replaced a number of, excuse me, of pumps. One of them was the treatment plant chlorine pump, which has seen the end of its end of life, as well as the pump at the Casino Drive pump station, and then a replacement of the drive for our flocculators at the treatment plant. As far as a financial update for the fiscal year to date through April 30th, the Big Bend Water District's accumulated debt balance has decreased almost $1.5 million, just slightly under that. So currently sits a debt balance of $1.97 million. And then I just wanted to report to the board that the Big Bend Water District Board of Trustees approved the Big Bend Water District fiscal year 25-26 budget, and that was done at the budget hearing on May 19th. And that is my report.
Go ahead, Fred.
Jason, I was looking at your numbers on the diversions, and also looked at the demand data that you've been sending me, and the demand data is greater than the diversion. Is the diversion numbers what you bring in and then what goes out through the sewer department?
So total diversions are what we bring in from the river.
Well, how can that be lower than what the demand data is?
Which demand data are you referring to?
It's a report that you gave me that said that the various zones had so much demand. I assume that's what they take in. What is the difference between diversion and demand?
So, Mr. Doe, I'll look at that report that I sent over, and I'll get back to you on the comparison between those two.
Okay.
So I can refer to that as well.
So this is the number you bring in, but it doesn't include the number that Reclamation puts out.
This doesn't include anything with Reclamation, no.
Okay. Is there any question?
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Receive a report from Will Smith with Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the wastewater.
Good afternoon, Will Smith, Clark County Water Reclamation District. Giving my report for May 2025. The Laughlin Water Resource Center treated an average of 1.56 million gallons a day, which we discharged to the Colorado River. At the same time this year in May, we had an equal amount of 1.56 million gallons a day. So there, we had an equal amount sent out over the year. We had zero sewer service complaints, zero odor complaints. We had eight call before you dig tickets, Laughlin tickets for May 2025. Attached, I have a influent flow comparison chart. A couple financial updates. The Laughlin Water Resource Center fiscal year 2025-2026 overall approved operating expense budget was approved for $2,373,823, which included an approved operating and maintenance expense of $1,365,000. Currently, there are no impacting projects in progress inside the plant or outside. The Laughlin Lift Station Number 2 Force Main Rehabilitation Project submittal is nearing completion. No project start date is available at this time. And the Laughlin Water Resource Center received the 2024 Platinum National Association of Clean Water Agencies, also known as NACWA, Peak Performance Award, 12th year running. So they got it for 12 years in a row.
Congratulations.
Any other questions or anything I can answer?
Madam Chair. If I could ask, just out of curiosity, since we have Jason Bailey still in the room. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that Fred was getting to is comparisons, apples and oranges. The information that we get from Jason is based on acre feet of water. The report that we get from you is based on millions of gallons daily. So I'm curious, is there a mathematical formula to convert these back and forth like you would from metric to imperial system? Because one of the things that you're referring to is we get a report that says what the demand is for acre feet and then what the return is going in millions of gallons daily. And I think it would be easier for this board and just the general public, you know, you guys have your own specialized language, and I appreciate that, all vocations do. But for the lay people, if there was a way to do that mathematical formula, because then we know our demand on the water, and then we know what we're recycling and what we're putting back into the system.
I can have it ready for you.
If you guys could, and maybe I don't know if you need to get it approved through the water board or through reclamation, but just when you give us that acre feet, give us what that million gallons of day is. And when you give us the million gallons a day, because that's your formula that your company runs off from, right. But just flip on the other side, that converts to how many acre feet?
Yeah, we can convert that over to acre feet.
Great. I think that would help us just going forward, and just the general public for what you guys, and I'm assuming this is all in Clark County. I mean, you know, it's like having software that talks to each other. And I think the general public, I mean, Clark County wide, that would be wise.
Not a problem. I can have that converted over to acre feet for the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Kelly Lear is not here. Receive a report from Carrie Larson with Laughlin Chamber of Commerce regarding current and upcoming business activities in Laughlin.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. Hello. The Laughlin Chamber is gearing up for Chef's Food Fest. That is everything all on our minds and ever consuming. I will say at the end of the month, we have our monthly business breakfast. This one is going to be a special one. It's from Resilient Minds Psychiatry, one of our members. She focuses on mental health for all ages. So she will take care of everyone from children through seniors. She does a lot of focusing on veterans issues as well. So if you can join us, that will be June 27th at 8:30 a.m., and the title of that is Breaking the Silence, Healing the Mind. So we invite everyone to come. Please RSVP. So Chef's Food Fest is next Thursday. Doors open at 5 o'clock, so June 19th, 5 p.m. You can get tickets. They are still available on LaughlinChamber.com, or you can call or come to the chamber for that. We have had some communications from headquarters. The top secret ingredient envelope is still missing, but they have been issuing some coded phrases to help us determine what it might be, so stay tuned to our Facebook page. Our results for membership for quarter two, we have 16 new members since April. 11 of those have come in since our last meeting, so it's been a really big month. Claudia's been working her tail off. Our VIPs still continue to volunteer throughout the community with two more concerts being announced and Rockets Over the River. There are plenty of opportunities for VIPs to volunteer, so please sign up if you'd like to. The agenda has Sue's email, or again, you can call the chamber. Claudia now has her notary stamp back from the state. Woohoo!
6 months.
So luckily we had some help from Clark County on that, and that is much appreciated. It is still only by appointment. She is out in the community a lot these days, so please call ahead. And then other than that, our big announcement regarding the bridge and Highway 163, AB 110 passed unanimously in both the Assembly and the Senate, and the governor has signed it. Assemblywoman Gallant has submitted for a ceremonial signing, and so we're waiting to hear some word back on that. But that went swimmingly, and it will take effect October 1. So as of October 1, all roads lead to the river, and the bridge will be named after Don Laughlin officially. That is it for my report. Any questions? Okay,
well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Receive a report from Jackie Wallen with the Laughlin Tourism Commission's regarding current and upcoming events and activities.
Now I represent the Laughlin Tourism Commission. For those who don't know, I report to the general managers of the resorts to perform my tasks. I want to thank you, Mark, for sharing the LVCVA's abstract, annual abstract report. It's a super important report for us. All of those intercept studies that they do at all of our events and for the year in and out of the resorts really makes it important for, gives us really valid information and vital information for us to do our job for what people are looking for and what they're staying for and how long they're coming and why. Over the last couple years, it's should be noted that most people who are coming to Laughlin would not make their reservations more than 90 days out. They're last minute planners. It seems that now they're playing a little bit farther out. Meg McDaniel's famous thing to say was that you can't catch them unless it's 6 weeks out. She would see bookings and reservations and stuff through LVCVA's abstract report that they wouldn't make them very far out. But now that us boomers are reaching our ages, we're doing a lot, planning a lot earlier, and a lot earlier so that we can plan our destinations and use less money when we do destinations to other places. So I really want to thank you for that. If you want to know how LTC lands in that whole thing. LVCVA is the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority. They're the ones that use the primarily the most of the bed tax dollars. When it gets to LVCVA, it goes into little buckets. One of those buckets is Las Vegas Events, who I directly report to for all grant monies. We get a budget from LVCVA, but bucket LVE, for us to put on our townwide events. Concerts, bass tournaments, rockets over the river. Those are how we fund those. We do not self-fund those at LTC. We fund them through LVCVA and LVE and the bed tax dollars, if you want to go back up. When that happens, that money, I have to apply for that money for that event. They approve it, and then we can move forward. Sometimes we have to go out at least 9 months before the event to get approved for that money. Sometimes for concerts, we can only go 4 to 6 months. It depends on the act or the performer, because their schedules are our schedules when it comes to those kind of performances. In LEC at the Laughlin Event Center, we go for A acts or the premium acts. In the Edge Pavilion, we go for a little bit lower because we have lower seat count and we can't charge the prices that the performer demands. That's why we go to LEC. Before I move any farther, when it comes to that, let me leave Clark County for a minute and go to the state of Nevada. Last week, we got really good news. Carrie and I have been working on the state of Nevada's Nevada Commission on Tourism Rural Marketing Grant. I wanted to make sure I got that out. I don't speak as well as I used to, but we were approved for our grant. We did apply for $180,000 for the Colorado River Valley's full marketing to make sure that this area is highlighted in all marketing efforts. This is a destination marketing grant. They have not confirmed the amount that we're going to get, but tomorrow some of our biggest venue operators will be meeting at the Riverside at 10 a.m. Mark, if you're in town, I would appreciate you being there. LVCVA is funding a feasibility study and a SWOT study to make sure that they understand moving forward what we're capable of doing in the next 5 years. What do we have? Not just in Laughlin, but what do we have on the Arizona side? We have Arizona people here that know that the Anderson Fieldhouse is valuable to us all. People go there to do events, but they stay here. It's a plus for both of us. We have Catherine's Landing, where we can do really large events, but Las Vegas and LVE and LVCVA don't understand the use of that and how close we are. They're coming to do an independent study for both states to make sure that we are cohesive, that we relate well together, that we're good partners, and that we've been growing up together since infancy. We are a family here and that we're one community, and I want them to understand that. So at 10 o'clock, we have a presentation by the Huddle Up group. That's the group that's coming to do the study. Then after that, we go on some tours. Of course, we're going to go to IFP, our regional airport. We're going to go to Catherine's Landing. We're going to Anniston Fieldhouse, Rotary Park, where we have the majority of those, what do we call them? Tourniquets. We call them tourniquets because everybody, no matter how, whether you're in a minor league, a children's league, an adult league, that's where everything happens. Baseball tournaments, soccer tournaments, and now Mojave Community College has a soccer team. So these are the kind of things that are growing here that we need to know happens on both sides of the river so we all benefit. Mainly we benefit from gaming and occupancy in the rooms, but if we can't get the people here, we can't share in that shared revenue and tax base. So that grant that we're getting, all that money that we are hopefully get approved, we want all of it, will go into destination marketing for sports tourism, entertainment tourism, adventure tourism, and river tourism. So all of those things come together and we will highlight everything we have. We will tell you what those kind of efforts will look like later, but we want to celebrate right now that they've approved that grant, and we worked really hard on it, and it's beautiful, and they love us here, and they're really happy that the work that we did. Inside of that grant was the USA 250 birthday that comes July 4th, 2026. We told them that that's what we're going to do. We're trying to partner with Bullhead City. We're still in group meetings for that, committee meetings on that. Also, Davis Dam 75, that's coming up next year. That's the 75th birthday of Davis Dam and what it's done, not just in providing a future for all of us, but also in hydroelectricity generation. So that's a big celebration. And then, of course, our 30-mile distance from Route 66, it's its 100th year birthday. So we're trying to attract people here as the closest resort or community, both sides, that they have to taking a rest or a little siesta off of the Route 66 highway travel that they're all going to do. It's like a caravan of people that are coming through. So those are the things that we're working on with that grant. Do you guys have any questions about that grant right now? Okay, you know I will keep you updated. Rockets Over the River, of course, is July 4th. It's going to be a 22-minute show this year. We were able to negotiate a little bit more rockets and a little bit more time. Murphy Broadcasting, again, is simulcasting and choreographing this with Zambelli Fireworks. And you'll be able to enjoy that with your radio sitting in your car if it's hot outside. And if you know, there are food trucks and lots of people doing tailgate parties and stuff all over the place to watch that. Get your space early on the Riverwalk, though, if you're going to do it in the shade on the Riverwalk. We have a townwide concert coming in September. That's Miranda Lambert. And we also have a fall townwide concert for the fall concert series of Jason Aldean. And that's on November 8th. I will stand for any questions if I haven't said enough already.
Any questions?
I have one. So Miranda Lambert, I mean, is she considered like an A-list celebrity?
Yes. She's still drawing.
So what are we talking? What does it cost to pay somebody like that?
I can't divulge that information. It is performer by performer. And those prices for those tickets that we set are based on the performer's request. I can tell you that they're much higher than they've ever been post-COVID. Right after COVID, we could get away with paying a little bit less because those performers just wanted to get out and do something. It was very nice for us then, but now because their schedules are getting busier and busier, we're paying premium prices. Mm. For a really, really good act, you can look at somewhere around $1 million just for the performer.
Wow.
So if history is any sign of what's moving forward, the Golden Entertainment Corporation that owns Laughlin Entertainment Center, LTC, provides them a sponsorship for the production of the show. Because we don't go into contract with the entertainer themselves, we cannot pay the entertainer. But we can help Golden Entertainment pay for the venue's expenses. Because we don't own a stage, we have to rent it. Audio, visual, everywhere has to be rented or contracted. So that's our donation from LTC. And that's out of the small budget that we get from the county or LVCVA, right? So anything that entertainer is requesting, Golden Entertainment has to make up somehow. And as of last year's fall concert series, Golden Entertainment was still going in the negative between $250,000 and $400,000 for every single act.
Just because we don't have as many people showing up for the shows?
No, or? Because we can't ask the ticket prices that you can in an enclosed environment in Las Vegas. We don't have we can't ask for that kind of a ticket price. Of course, they're not charging us as much because we're in a rural community like they would in Las Vegas, but they get more in Las Vegas. We just have the ability to ask for the price that we can get in a rural community outside, and they can have the Laughlin experience, which we talked about. It's not the hoity-toity Las Vegas. You can go anywhere in your bathing suit pretty much as long as you have flip-flops on and a shirt, you know. It's much more relaxed. No parking fees, no traffic. It's just different, and people like it, especially our younger generation now. If I can quote this right, our regular demographic age that we would market to went down to about 61 to 63. Sometimes we could get it in the 55 to 57 range. Now some of those demographics, depending on the season, we can see as low as 38 to 45. So it's changing. We just have to keep up with the age wave. And because the boomer generation is growing much faster than any other generation in our history, at least in our recent history, it's really a lot to think about. Because I don't know about you, but I don't feel 68. When my mom was 68, she was in a rocking chair and she was needlepointing, right? But us boomers, we still want to play. And I do a lot of playing. So the difference in the two generations just between me and my mom are changing. And I like to feel that for others who want to come here and hope that we can generate some interest in what we can do here even when we get in the golden years.
I'm Generation X, so don't forget about us. We're still in there.
We can't.
We may not be as big as the boomers, but we're still there.
Yeah, so if you guys have any more questions, or if you have any more questions about abstract, you can also call me in and I'll help you with it. Or Meg McDaniel, she's so fluid on this information. That's what she does for a living. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, planning and zoning. All right. UC 250374, Shipke. I hope I'm saying this right. Aw and Baugh, January 12, 1989, TR and Herrick Hal, TRS use permits for the following: 1, recreational and entertainment facility, outdoor dining, drinking and cooking, 3, live entertainment, and 4, mobile food vendor. Waiver of development standards for the following: 1, eliminate parking. 2, eliminate short-term bicycle spaces. 3, eliminate street landscaping. 3, lighting standards. 5, noise standards. And 6, waive full site improvements. Design review for a recreational and entertainment facility, amphitheater, with ancillary and accessory structures on a 6.20-acre portion of 19.99 acres in a commercial general CG zone, generally located north of Bruce Woodbury Drive and on the east side of Thomas Edison Drive within Laughlin, for possible action to the BCC on 07-02-2025. And I'm sorry if I messed up the names.
No, it's all good. Good afternoon, Mark Mulhall, on behalf of the applicant, Golden Entertainment, and the Laughlin Event Center.
Could you spell the last name, please?
Yes, my last name is Mulhall, M-U-L-H-A-L-L, and this is my colleague, Steve Herlihy. He's going to be assisting with the exhibit somewhat, so he'll be holding them up. If you need to see him closer, just let us know. He's pretty quick usually, but bear with us. It's fitting that we get to go after the Laughlin Tourism Commission. Obviously, the Laughlin Event Center is the big event center in town. With those big concerts and recently the Cinch Rodeo, where there was collaboration on that. As mentioned, this is a 20-acre property that's east of Thomas Edison and north of Bruce Woodbury, as depicted.
We can have the AV. If you want to put it on the table, they could probably shoot that camera above it straight down.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we might be able to get it if they can do that back there. Yeah. Hopefully that camera can go down, but if not, we can hold it up.
Okay, and as mentioned, the event center occupies a 6.2-acre portion up in the northeast portion of the site. And so it currently has a land use designation for entertainment mixed use, which is...
There we go.
Which is conducive for this type of use, for entertainment, for casino and resorts, and then it resides in the commercial zoning designation. And so those applications were mentioned. It's kind of a mouthful of the applications, but this goes back to 2013 when the Laughlin Event Center was first established. This essentially mirrors that original approval from 2013, those special use permits, those waivers, just under now the new Title 30.
So I'll kind of just walk through each of those, explain why they're necessary, why we're coming back for them. And so by way of history, the 2013 application that I mentioned, it expired under the previous applicant that was operating under it. So we're just coming into compliance to allow the Laughlin Event Center to operate as is. Nothing is changing, and it's still going to provide those great events. As mentioned, Miranda Lambert, Jason Aldean coming up, and then there's been incredible events in the past with Brooks and Dunn, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Toby Keith, RIP. So we want to keep that going and keep bringing world-class entertainment, great music, and rodeos to the Laughlin Event Center and to this community. So the first one, as part of that, there's a special use permit for a recreation and entertainment facility. And the reason for that being is that that's allowed indoors under the general commercial zoning district. So an outdoor facility of this requires a special use permit. But that's what makes this event center unique. Being outdoors, it's cool. It has that rural feel. People enjoy going outdoors, having an ice cold beer out at the event center. So that's the reasoning for that first special use permit. Additionally, the second special use permit is outdoor dining and drinking. So to have outdoor dining and drinking, it usually is associated with a primary eating establishment. As we're all aware, the Laughlin Event Center is not a restaurant or a primary eating establishment. So we're required to have this special use permit so that patrons can get drinks and so they can get food. And so that's part of it. There's 3 bar concessions on the property, and then there's the possibility for mobile food trucks and other concessions and vendors to be on there. And that just ties in with the third special use permit is for live entertainment. That's what the Laughlin Event Center does, provides live entertainment. So that's just required under code in the general commercial zoning district. And the final one ties into the second one that I was talking about. One mobile food vendor is allowed. If you want multiple, you need a special use permit. So just in anticipation of that, we're being proactive, getting that so there's no compliance issues, and so that there can be food trucks out there and food for patrons of the event. Then we'll move into the waiver of development standards. The first one is parking. And so this kind of has 2 components. First, the site just occupies that 6.2-acre portion, so it's not the full 20-acre portion. That western portion is subject to a third-party lease, so we can't park on that land. And then additionally, too, there's a number of casinos in the area that are very close proximity where patrons can walk from there and they can take alternative transportation. And kind of the thought process with this, too, is that it's a mutually beneficial relationship between the two. Patrons of the event center get to go park at the casino. We talked about how it's nice to get free parking, but then they can go in, they can dine there, they can have drinks, maybe gamble a little, and some people might decide, too, hey, it'd be better off if I stayed here, or there's the people that are coming in, and they've already planned their vacation, they're staying there, and they're walking over to the event center. So we'd like to keep the event center as is, as was previously approved. Parking was waived under that approval. Additionally, an additional waiver is waiving the landscaping requirements along the right-of-ways. We're really just, one, trying to keep it consistent with what we previously had. Additionally, we occupy that 6.2-acre portion that's up in the northeast, so we're not even right on the right-of-ways. And also, too, there's no development across the way at Thomas Edison or to the south at Bruce Woodbury, so we'd be kind of putting these trees where it's not really characteristic for the area. So we just kind of want to keep it as is, keep the character of the site. And then there's 2 waivers for lighting standards and for noise standards, and that kind of just comes with being an event center. We want, again, be proactive. There's no reason to get code enforcement and to get any code violations. So we're doing this in advance so we can be in compliance with noise and with the lighting and waive those requirements for the event center since we see that as fitting. Lastly, there's the waiver of offsite improvements along Thomas Edison Drive. And so it's just on Thomas Edison, because in 2014 there's a separate waiver for Bruce Woodbury. And so that again goes back to the character of the area. There's nothing across the way on Thomas Edison. Two, if there's a sidewalk, it'd be a sidewalk to nowhere. And then that also abuts the third party lease over there rather than the site itself. So we think that it's fitting to be able to waive those offsite improvements. Additionally, it'll keep it consistent with that waiver on Bruce Woodbury. And then lastly, there's the design review for the entire facility. And we'll show the site plan. And so this really is what the Laughlin Event Center is. There's the grand stage area. There's the seating and the grandstands, the bleachers. And so those are those metal bleachers, kind of that classic feel. And then there's restroom areas, as well as I mentioned, three bar concession areas. All of it is movable, technically, too, but this is the set floor plan. There's 11,600 seats available. There's also ADA seating in the middle and a couple other ADA seating options up closer to the stage to accommodate those folks so that they can be able to come out and enjoy the concert. But otherwise, too, nothing's changing. So this is what you know and love, and we're keeping it the same. So the design review comes in and is the same as that previous application, and we appreciate staff's recommendation of approval on all but the waiver of the offsite improvements, and we know that Public Works appreciates their offsite improvements. So with that, that's the end of our presentation.
I have a world of conversation. Sorry.
I have a question for you guys. Yes. Do you guys actually offer shuttle buses from those casino parking lots to the actual venue?
No.
I mean, as she mentioned, you know, a lot of our population. Yes,
yes. The resorts do.
My apologies, Phyllis. Yes.
There is, because I was going to say a lot of our population is the boomer generation. Yeah. You know, so you might want to have a shuttle to take those people up that little hill right there.
Yeah, yeah. So not everyone has to walk over. Yeah, there's shuttle, and then obviously, too, if people need to Uber or those options. But, yeah, there is the shuttle option.
Cool. Thanks.
Madam Chair, if I may, we're going to be together for a little while. I'm sorry. I have a lot of history on this project. I've been on this board for over, I think, 24 years or something like that. So I'm going to take you gentlemen. First, I just need to clarify your role with the company. Are you developers? Are you part of the legal team for the Shipkey Trust?
We're legal representatives of Golden Entertainment, of the applicant. We're outside counsel to
your outside counsel to the Shipkey Trust or
not,
for
not
Golden
to the Shipkey Trust to Golden.
To Golden.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So let me just, from a historical standpoint, just to the Shipkey Trust, and I'm not sure if you can relay this because obviously you deal with them on a regular basis. So in 2005, we started a casino enhancement process. We took it to the different property owners. They agreed to form an SID, which is Special Improvement District, for maintaining landscaping and beautification along Casino Drive. And so that was done. The Shipkey Trust did not respond to us at that time. However, the linear assessment did go forward. The SID did go forward. Part of the Shipkey Trust, if the public isn't aware, is also what we call Nevada-made marijuana. And that called for beautification and landscaping along that portion there, which has not been done. Now, I understand that's not Golden Entertainment. But when you came before this board in 2013 to approve the site, at that point, you know, it wasn't, at that point, it was a temporary thing. And this board considered well all of the waivers that we granted because you guys were taking a risk. We had not had an event center like that. We very much wanted one. So we waived in that the lighting, the offsites, the landscaping, you know, those type of things because it was a risk. You guys were given a period of time, as these waivers always go with, you know, and they expire, because if you made the investment, we didn't want you to make a bigger investment if it didn't go, because nobody knew at that point it was a new concept. So we gave you those waivers at that time. And then what I have found in the ensuing, you know, since 2013 is that when we try to reach anybody with the Shipkey Trust, I personally have brought two medical facilities to take a look at UMC property to see about revitalizing it, turning it into, you know, an urgent care. We get no response. So one of the things I'd like to ask you, gentlemen, if we can update the town manager's office as far as the contacts within the trust. Obviously, you're dealing with them. You're here with us today. You know, you have completed this. If we can have some updated input from them on some of this. And I have no problem with a lot of the things that you're asking, and I understand the justification. But the one thing that I will bring up to you as the applicant and ask if you would consider this is the landscaping. I understand the parking spaces. This is the landscaping along Bruce Woodbury. Right. That, you know, technically, you know, the SID we did in 2005, which is Nevada Made Marijuana. Again, this is the Shipkey Trust. And the landscaping, that's not a huge investment because now you've shown that this is a viable business venue for 10 years at least. And we tried to make the investment. We didn't want you to get hurt. We tried to make the investment that you made minimal to see, is this going to fly, is it not? But now at this point, I would like to see if there's something that can be done with the landscaping. I understand the parking spaces. You know, the casinos offer a shuttle. I understand the lighting because it's not cohesive. But we do want to present an aesthetically pleasing environment for our guests that come here. And like I said, I realize, so this would probably also entail, this isn't again Golden, but it's the Shipkey Trust, and I have to talk to someone because I don't get any response from them, would be the landscaping that goes in front of UMC and that area. So if that would be, as the applicant, I don't know if you can agree to that, if you have the power to speak to considering landscaping. None of the other offsites am I asking for, but that was something that I think, you know, would help beautify that area.
Okay.
That would be my request, and it's just because I was here in 2005, I was here in 2013, and this is, if you even pull up the minutes from that meeting, you'll see that that was a request that was made then, was that we want to make it as little impact financially till you guys decided if this is a go. And I think that you're back here 10 years later or 12, you know, to say it did financially make sense for us and we want to continue it. So that would be my ask. And again, I don't know if you have the power to make that decision, but if you would please relay that, and again, please update contact information for the trust that you're dealing with, because we're not getting a response.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, it does not have to be live landscaping, correct?
I think there are some options that the applicant could work with Public Works, planning, zoning, all that, to make sure what the intent of what they need to do. So, yes, I agree.
They're on Casino Drive. They've got the nice metal sculptures. I mean, yes. That's a minimal investment, requires no watering. You're not talking a whole lot of money to put some kind of even the metal sculpture.
And weed abatement is a big issue, too. There's a great deal, you know, that's there. And I think your guests would appreciate it as well.
Yeah.
That attend the concerts.
I think fair points, and I don't have the power to agree to that. But I think that potentially can definitely relay the information and I think consider alternatives. I think just what code is exactly strictly asking for, the applicant doesn't want that of the strict trees, but potential alternatives, I think, is an opening. And then we can talk to Shipkey, and potentially there's some collaboration for the site as a whole.
Yeah, there's always scale in, you know, working a project
for
together. And I know, Golden, you have your own landscape people within, you know.
Right. So we can, I'll definitely relay the message and see if there's openings for alternatives and if there's something that we can submit that'll be acceptable to everyone.
Did we have some comments? You need to come up.
Please come to the podium and spell your name. We're going to give Tammy a break.
Phyllis Gilland, PhyllisGilland, and I'm with Golden. And we will get you the Shipkey Trust information. However, I would say I get 2 calls per month on the UMC building. And Evan and I have just spoken within the last 30 days, Evan, give or take, and set him up with the Shipkey Trust. So happy to do that. And I know Evan was working with Warm Seat, so happy to do that.
Yeah, I've tried forwarding them to you guys because I wasn't able to get any response.
Well, you can call me anytime. So, and I'll get you my information. County has my information.
And I know we've spoken before.
I know we have.
We've worked with them as well.
Yeah. So that'd be great. We'll happy to do that.
Bob Bilbray, 1631 Caledison Drive, Laughlin, Nevada. I'm here representing myself and also the Laughlin Economic Development Corporation. I think everybody's fully aware of the economic impacts of this facility over the last 13 to 14 years. I thought they've run it incredibly well. Not only the benefit to the Golden Gaming Group, it's benefit to the entire tri-state area. This brings in a lot of very, very good clientele for us. And I strongly recommend the support of this application. This is the first I've heard about the landscaping issue.
You remember the SID, though, right?
I remember the landscaping issue. Guys that have birthdays today remember things that happened not long ago.
It gets harder to remember.
And they don't really wish they would remember those type of things. Yeah, we've been supported by Golden Gaming. The Shipke Trust is obviously not what it was when I first met Art, but you know, and that's a family issue. I can help any way I can to get communications between Public Works, and seeing exactly what options are there. We have to recognize, you know, it's the lease that's the issue here. It's the economic impact that's the issue here. It's not trees. It's nice to have it. Do I think it's a material cost to the whole thing? I wouldn't guess so. It's not sitting in a floodplain zone, for an example. I wouldn't think that this is going to be a problem, but that'll be the decision, you know, between Golden Gaming and Shipke. I would like to see that side of the street improved. So from my personal point of view, I'll be glad to join with, you know, obviously I'm close to Golden Gaming, and I'll be glad to talk with them about what the alternatives are. We still got some drainage issues that go through the middle of Woodbury at that point from Thomas Edison down, so that may come into it. But I think for this application, and I'll definitely go back and speak with Golden Gaming and let them know that this came up, and in addition to their own representatives. But I would look forward to the support of this. There's really nothing materially that's changed off. So what we've experienced and seen economically and practically, what Metro's seen and had to enforce, I think it's amazingly less complicated than what all of the waivers seem to indicate. So thank you very much.
Hi, Carrie Larson speaking on behalf of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce as the executive director. This application does align with our legislative policy platform for enhancing the business climate. I would caution some of the requirements that may be injected regarding landscaping. It is a high foot traffic area, and we want to be sure that we're not putting impediments in the way of people who may not have all of their faculties about them at the time they are descending the hill.
Okay.
So
that's a nice
way to say it. Wary of putting metal sculptures in a fall zone. That is all.
I guess I don't drink enough. I didn't think about that.
I'm just saying
the
there are alternatives to anything that is water-based, because obviously conserving water should be a huge part of this. And it requires less cost on their behalf.
And I know there's rock options as well, and decorative rock.
And granite fines, which are level, so there's nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to be told how I feel about it.
Yeah, LEC, that's job security.
It's my baby. That's the only place that we can put that many people in, that kind of an act. And even though Golden has that lease and they present the act, our whole town depends on those boots hitting the ground so we can fight over them. So they're bringing the act in, but we're all sharing in the purchase of the tickets. We're all sharing in making sure occupancy goes up, and we're all making sure that people are comfortable and welcome in Laughlin. So I personally, and I think LTC, would be very, very supportive of some xeriscape, as you're talking about, that doesn't take any irrigation, but may just be some rocks and boulders and some, even the fake kind of metal, whatever that they put in
all there. Enough they don't trip over when they've had a few.
Right, but just on the outside, just on the outside to show some attempt, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Simple.
Go, Title 30, go.
Okay, any more discussion? I will entertain a motion, please.
Madam Chair, I'll make the motion if you don't mind. I'll make a motion that we approve UC 250374, Shipke AH and BA, January 12, 1989, TR and Herrick Howell Trust, use permits for the following: recreational and environmental facility, outdoor dining, drinking and cooking, live entertainment and mobile food vendor, with waivers of development standards for the following: eliminate parking, eliminate short-term bicycle spaces, eliminate street landscaping, eliminate lighting standards, noise standards, and waive full off-site improvements, design review for a recreational and entertainment facility, amphitheater, and ancillary and accessory structures on a 6.20-acre portion of 19.99 acres in a GC, or correction, CG, commercial general zone, generally located north of Bruce Woodbury Drive on the east of Thomas Edison Drive within Laughlin, for possible action to the BCC on 7/2/2025.
I second that. Okay. I have a second and a first. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
You have your approval from us, sir.
Y'all have a great day.
Thank you. All right. General business none. Now is comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, if applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board, or by majority vote. Do we have anybody?
Looks like we have a gentleman approaching.
I'll go first.
Mark has some.
Yeah, okay. Mark Moskowitz with Clark County. I just want to wish Bob Bilbray a happy birthday. I'm very happy that you came and celebrated birthday. Here for your birthday. So happy birthday.
God, I think he was 40 when I met
happy
him.
Birthday. Good afternoon.
Yeah. You got to take what we can get, you know.
Good afternoon, members of the board, county staff, members of the public. My name is Luis Plancarte. Last name is Plancarte. I am with the Castle Mountain Mine. The address, business address, is 980 American Pacific Drive, Suite 102, Henderson, Nevada. I am here representing the Castle Mountain Mine, which is a project owned by Equinox Gold. That's our larger holding corporation. And we are in the process of repermitting what used to be the Viceroy Mine. The Viceroy Mine is roughly from Searchlight, 9 miles to the west, over to Walking Box Ranch. And then there's a dirt road that goes in for 18 miles. And that's where the mine is being repermitted. We've been working on it for about 5 years now. We estimate that we probably have another 18 to 24 months to go to get it permitted through BLM and all the other agencies. During construction, we will employ about 500 people that will, pretty much build the property out. Then that should take 18 to 24 months or so, at which time we'll go into operation, and we should have right around 800 full-time equivalent employees. The mine is expected to produce for 15 to 20 years. Right now, indications, and these are always changing because obviously as the price of gold continues to increase, we now have other areas that we have to consider as economic viable. But we are in the production of about 200,000 ounces, troy ounces of gold a year for about 15 to 20 years. Eventually, I'll be asking to make a full presentation before your board with boards and everything that you can see on how we expect to support your communities, employ some of your community members, and of course for chambers of commerce, we'll have to utilize a lot of services as it relates to products we buy and services we need. So I will make myself available after the meeting. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to share a number. And then in the future, I look forward to taking some of your time to actually make a full presentation.
Just out of curiosity, you have 500 in construction and then the equivalent of 800 FTEs once operating?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
During construction, the construction company and contractors will come in. We estimate that to be about 500 people.
I see.
Once that is constructed, they leave. We start operation. We will hire 300 of our employees.
300, okay. Okay, I've got it. And have you made provisions for lodging for the construction, or is that part of their responsibility? And then for your employees, is Laughlin Bullhead the closest outside of possibly Searchlight for you, or mm-hmm. Boulder City? I'm just not sure exactly where it's located.
Yep. At this point, we're entertaining all the options. We suspect that the bulk of our workforce will come from Henderson and from this area. At the end of the day, because of the location, it's about equidistant to get there to work. There is consideration, for example, our average equipment operators will work either a 10-hour shift or a 12-hour shift. If you add another 2, 2.5, 3 hours of travel time, it makes for perhaps long-term unsafe operating conditions for our employees. So we are looking at different lodging opportunities. Right now, we are doing some leaching and we are doing some producing at the mine. And most of our workforce right now comes from Henderson and we bring them in vans. There are some people who wish to stay here. We have been approached by several individuals about building RV parks or building housing, and we have given them the information that we have. We are a gold mining company. We're not in the construction or development business. However,
yeah.
We're happy to share what our expectations are. I can tell you that the workforce that does the construction, pardon me, generally speaking, and I shouldn't put it this way, but here I go, they are kind of sort of like carnies. Right? As a carnival goes, they go on, they show up in their fifth wheels and their travel trailers.
Like the oil industries that
way,
too.
Like the oil industry, they're there for the construction of their job, and then as that job is about to be completed, they're told, okay, next place is Tulsa, Oklahoma, and that's where they head. And so they're very good at it. They're very good at knowing where to park. We have looked at the possibility of some kind of a lodging area, and this is an overused word right now, but tiny homes where they can sleep 4 nights in a row and then go home for the operation. But once again, we're not necessarily in the housing business, we're in the mining business. And so we have been approached by different investors, different property owners. We share with them what they need, and then it's a business decision for them.
thank you and welcome. Thank you for
sharing. I have a couple of questions. Is this anywhere near Rhyolite?
I am not familiar with that area, but do you know where the Walking Box Ranch is?
Where the what?
Walking Box Ranch.
No.
Yeah. No. If you go to Searchlight, right where Denny's is, you turn left on 164. Walking Box Ranch is about 9 miles down the road on the south side of the road. And that road, as you go in, 18 miles later is the property out there.
Now, is this a hard rock mining or is this an open pit? What kind
open
of mining?
Open pit mine, uh-huh.
So how big would the open pit actually be?
I don't know quite how to describe it to you, whether you want metric tons or whether you want yards, dimensions, but happy to share that information with you. On everybody measures things or uses things to relate. For example, gold is produced or sold by troy ounces, and we often get asked, well, how many kilograms that is? Oh my gosh. Because it doesn't get measured. But if you tell us how you relate to it, happy to share. Now, you should know that this is a mine that was shut down in the 90s. And so we are re-permitting it. There'll be really no additional disturbance other than the existing footprint that they had. One of the things that is taking us a little bit longer is that when they shut that mine down, they began the reclamation process. Every mine, when they start with a mining plan, they also have to have a reclamation process. What do you do at the end? Which they initiated. So they began to take out the water lines, the power lines. So we're in the process of reinstating rights of way and where that power is gonna come from and that water and so on and so on. And so, but it is an existing property that produced for quite a few years. As a matter of fact, the Walking Box Ranch was their business office for a long time. That way people didn't have to drive 18 miles in. And eventually when the mine shut down, they went ahead and donated that to UNLV for their studies, which subsequently donated the Walking Box Ranch to a nonprofit, which now operates it and does tours. And it's got quite a history. You should consider going out there one of these days, and especially on Saturdays when they have their tours and incredible history.
I do have a question. If I remember correctly, that's a dirt road.
That is correct.
So is there any issues with the amount of traffic that's going to be on and the dust, and are you going to pave
dust mitigation type?
Yeah. So there's a few things that I can share with you. We apply certain chemicals to the road that are approved by BLM. And our 18-mile road is 9 miles of California, 9 miles of Nevada. So both of the BLM offices approve it as far as any runoff being safe to the wildlife and the plants. But that, in essence, keeps the dust from coming up. Second, we do carpool our employees in. We rent it. Made a contract with a local RV park there, and we rented parking where we leave our vans. So all our employees come in, they leave their vans in, their cars in, they jump in the van. And so instead of having 15 cars go in, we have one van go in. We are also looking at optional places for example, truck deliveries and UPS deliveries and stuff like that, so that they can leave at a, let's call it, populated area, and then later in the day we haul it in much larger numbers.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. Consolidation.
Yeah, we, you know, Equinox Gold. We have over 8,000 employees. We have 9 mines throughout Canada, U.S., Mexico, pretty soon Nicaragua, and then we have 4 in Brazil. And so we work with the communities. We hear usually the same concerns. So we cut them off at the pass beforehand.
Having a plan going in. Yeah.
And then down the road, you're welcome to tour the property. We can arrange for you to take a look at it. And, you know, it's they're quite operations. I myself am based right between Yuma, Arizona and San Diego, California. That's my home office, a mine that's there, El Centro, California. And then from there, I service properties up here and properties in Mexico. So. Okay, thank you. Happy to answer any
thank
questions.
Thank you, appreciate it. I was just going to shut it down.
I knew better.
Robert Bilbray, B-I-L-B-R-A-Y, 1631 Cal Edison. I'm here representing the Laughlin Economic Development Corporation as their strategic development advisor. As you probably heard, the Emerald Bay, Arizona side is set for auction in Kingman 1 week from today at 11 a.m. At that time, it'll take approximately 8 to 10 days for the auction to be certified and the payment. The opening auction price for the 300 remaining acres is $4.6 million. The cost for the first two golf courses, which are the Nicholas courses, and the grading of the entire 600 acres is approximately another $60 million. Then I would expect that to start probably the second to third week in October.
Oh, wow.
The courses will be completely seeded, and basically the timing right now is the seeding of the courses. Right. You don't want to hit the wrong timing to get the right turf for $60 million worth of golf courses. And it's the pizzazz to the retirement community. So I would expect that to occur, and I expect the golf courses will be open for tee times at the end of March of 2026. Quick. That is moving quickly. Now, the demand for the housing is yet to be seen, but from what I'm seeing right now, I'm preparing to look to lease approximately 400 to 500 hotel rooms for 7 years, just to handle the construction workers that will be on that project. Like I said, I think it's probably best to notify the community by going back to the leadership speakers forums we used to have at the American Legion, inviting the community in to do that, have the speakers from the developer there, the golf course people there, and you know, they very much are anxious to integrate inside the Laughlin and Arizona communities. They've done much better in integrating into Bullhead City and Mojave County. My guess is the permitting, I talked to the mayor, and the permitting and agenda and land use agendas for the Arizona side, he said, would take less time than the time it took for me to dial the phone number. These homes are going to be between 2 and 4 million each. So it's really going to be something exciting. Now, my last conversations with county representatives, with Shawnee Coleman, was she wanted to wait until the auction took place. She's pretty much aware of what I just told you. Maybe not the exact timeline, but then the auction is going to have to be prepared. It's not going to be an easy preparation. That'll be an appraisal to it. Like I said, this would probably include most or all of the Fort Mojave development area, the whole 5,100 acres. At this stage, I think we're probably, I don't know that S3 is going to be the only bidder. I can't guarantee they won't be. But I know there's a demand for it. We're talking about very wealthy people. We're talking about a Formula One racetrack. We're talking about two Tiger Woods golf courses. We're talking about medical facilities that are off the charts. And I'm saying a coordination between Scripps and Mayo Clinic. It's going to be a big part of the market. It's going to be retired professional athletes and the medical facilities to rehabilitate them and train them. My guess is the total sellout time in the project, based upon the demand I'm seeing, probably 5.5 to 6 years on both sides of the river, and this side of the river potentially could have 18,000 to 22,000 homes. We now have 3,500 homes. So, and it's not all California, by the way. the market's not all California. It's Oregon. It's, you know, I probably get 17 phone calls a day from just Denver area. So that's pretty much what I know now. I think, you know, I think at this point, you know, I'll try to come back and talk to the board. The media is going to be all over this, folks. I mean, it's, you know, the national media is going to be all over this. So, you know, I, like I said, trying to keep the community with our paper. I'll, you know, stay with Jill and get as much out as I can. But, you know, my first thing is to get to you. So you and the commissioner, and that's really the first thing to do. So, and I'll be ready to do it. Obviously, we're all looking forward to what the potential are. It'll have a material impact on three states. There's just no, and I don't see anything right now. The school district donation agreement that held up two of the auctions has been finalized. Oh, okay. And I've confirmed that with the mayor and the city manager and with the chairman of the Board of Supervisors in Mojave County. So that's out of the way. There's no more false starts, and there better not be just because of the seating time on the golf courses. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, and I'll be communicating more with the commissioner and with Shawnee Coleman and with Mark's office as it progresses. It's going to move. You can tell with that timeline, it's going to move very fast. Okay? Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Okay, next meeting is July 8th here at 1:30. Motion for adjournment.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Are we adjourned?
We are adjourned.